everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always good to be here with you to share insights on how to live a longer and healthier life. Today, a study just out from the University of Otago, which is in New Zealand, talks about how whole fruit vitamin C boosts your feelings of vitality. That's correct. Especially if you're an adult, by improving your vitamin C intake, you also improve your feelings of energy, vitality. In fact, they're suggesting eating just 2 kiwi fruit a day for 2 weeks did this. Now, kiwis are small. They're about the size of an egg. There's golden kiwi, and then there's a green kiwi. I happen to prefer the golden kiwi. It's milder, and it is actually more powerful. So the study highlights the advantages of ingesting vitamin C through whole fruits, but you could do it through oranges also and apples. So makes a big difference. We have a lot more coming also today. For those of you who are concerned about the coronavirus, and especially what is true and what is partially or not true at all, we have a lot to share, including new information. Now, this may surprise many of you, but we will prove conclusively, and you can see the proof by going to prn.fm and watching the video clip, 7-minute video clip, in real time by our highly respected scientist, PhD, that the U.S. government, the CDC, patented the coronavirus. Patented all the information on it. Well, hold on a second. You can't patent, it's against the law to patent a natural item, only if it's human-made. So if you patent something that comes from nature, like you can't patent an orange, an apple, and hence you can't patent a virus that is came naturally from a bat, and that's what they're claiming, then you've just committed felonies. But if you then genetically engineer the virus for repurposing it, enhanced purpose, that goes in violation of federal laws, international laws, in biodevelopment, which is a no-no. That's a crime. In fact, a crime against humanity. So either way, we will prove today that the federal government and its agencies have engaged in illegal activity, but more importantly, why hasn't anyone, not a single person in the mainstream media, found this information of where the virus actually came from and how it has been used and how they profit from it? We will break that story today with irrefutable, 100% conclusive proof. Also today, a special, original, in-depth investigative report, Richard Gale, myself. We have a new article. It is published on PRN.fm. It is entitled, Playing Russian Roulette with a COVID-19 Vaccine. We lay out very realistically, no hyperbole, no bias, why this is the most dangerous public health experiment in the history of the world. Bill Gates is behind this, Anthony Fauci, two people who I believe should be held accountable for crimes against humanity. I have no respect for either, and yet they're controlling everything. Well, we will uncover this and take you through what's wrong with the development and implementation of the Corona vaccine. That's our show. And then today I also will read a letter that was sent to me from the head of an indigenous tribe in South America about what happens when corporations go into a country and exploit its resources without any thought. And this was sent to me by Andina on behalf of the Ecuadorian indigenous leader, Nemonte Nemquimo. an open letter to world leaders from Ecuador indigenous leader, "Your civilization is killing life on Earth." This is a short letter, but it's extremely important that we all know what's going on and give support to those people around the world who are dealing with our hegemony and our capitalism and what it's doing to their population. Now let's go back to health and healing. We need to have more fruits in our diet. Now, there's some fruits that are more powerful, have more phytonutrients than others. Nomi, acai, the very powerful pomegranate, which should be in everyone's diet. You can buy it frozen, you can buy the concentrate, or in season you can buy it fresh. You can grow it. I grow pomegranates. They're delicious. But we need to have more fruits. Not fruit concentrates from sugar syrup. Not fruit drinks, real fruit. And this was from the Center for Free Radical Research in Christchurch, that's an area of New Zealand. They ran a placebo-controlled intervention to test whether increasing vitamin C through whole fruit consumption can improve feelings of vitality and zest. And it worked. The more vitamin C, and this was not a lot. We're only talking about 250 milligrams. That's not a lot. That's what you would get if you ate two kiwis. They're very rich in vitamin C, by the way, and higher than an orange. Most people are not aware of that. So if you just want to feel better all over, then take vitamin C, getting it from fruit. Now, I mentioned pomegranate. This is from King Abdulaziz University in Saudi Arabia. Pomegranate peel. This is not the pomegranate. This is the pomegranate peel extract. Lessen histopathological changes and restores antioxidant homeostasis in Alzheimer's patients. That's what the study showed. In effect, in lay language, when you eat a pomegranate, and scrape, by the way, if you want to eat it in a little unusual, more exotic way, buy some endive. We'll always wash the endive, top and bottom, and then leave it whole. Don't break up the leaf. And then circle your dish with endive. Then around that, put some sunflower sprouts, and around that, put some radish sprouts. In the middle, put some hummus. Either make it yourself, which is easy, and that way you can control the amount of lemon or garlic you want to go into it. And then on top of the hummus, put some pomegranates. And then across the whole thing, take some olive oil, put it into a decanter, put in some tangerine and lemon juice. You can juice it yourself. You can blend it in a blender and pour it in. And then shake it and spritz it across there. It's a very exotic taste, and because there's so many layers of taste, every bite imparts a different sensation in the mouth. But in any case, the pomegranate peel, and we didn't know this, this is brand new research, it contains ellagic acid, E-L-L-A-G-I-C. By the way, why I spell so many things is because we're heard all over the world. And as such, people don't always have English as their first language. So they'll write emails to my office saying, could you give me the proper spelling of that particular word? So that's why I do it. In any case, the ellagic acid in the pomegranate has a histopathological change in the hippocampus of an aluminum chloride induced. So when someone has, let's say, a vaccine, and it has aluminum in it, which almost all vaccines do, that aluminum cannot be taken out of the body as aluminum in a food can. Mercury in a food like fish can exit the body, most of it, rather rapidly. Mercury in a vaccine, it goes into the muscle, that goes to the brain. That'll stay there. And that's dangerous because all of that is neurodestructive. It destroys neurons. It can affect the central nervous system. Hence, in comes pomegranate, and it helps block this neurotoxicity and allows greater antioxidant capacity in the brain, especially in the hippocampus area of the brain. So it's very good. In lay language, just eat your pomegranates. Also, from the University of California at San Diego comes a study. In fact, two studies that find simply standing up or walking around can provide positive health benefits, and Americans just sit too much. More than 5 million people around the world die from causes associated with a lack of physical activity. So University of San Diego School of Medicine sought to understand sedentary lifestyles. Now think of all the young people right now who are sitting at computers much of the day. That's really bad for you. Think of all the older people who think, well, I'm older, I got to slow down. And they sit, watch television. They're down in a chair too much. Never sit for more than 2 hours. Get up. When I'm on a plane and I'm sitting on a long flight, every hour I get up and I walk up and down the aisles. I go to the back of the plane and I'll do about 15 minutes of stretching and then squatting down 6 inches, squatting down 12 inches, full squats to get the blood flowing, muscles moving. You don't want blood pooling. That's dangerous. You can end up with a clot. But in any case, according to this article published in the Journals of Gerontology and Medical Sciences, just standing up and walking around, not power walking, just walking, is good for you. It can help reduce chronic diseases, including heart disease and type 2 diabetes, numerous cancers, as well as Alzheimer's and dementia. Well, Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. That's simple. And we could lower our risk of death substantially. In fact, I'll give you an idea. Before I do my radio show, I'll go in and do some legwork. Maybe I'll work on a VersaClimber. That's your best overall exercise piece of equipment you can use because it's both resistant and it's aerobic. Every muscle in your body hits and you turn that little screw that tightens up the resistance. You have to really push up and down to get the body moving. I'll do that for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Then about an hour after my show, I do it again. So A, you get really good muscle definition. You burn fat, you gain strength, but also you get your circulation moving again from sitting. Just suggesting exercise throughout the day and the evening. From Weill Cornell Medical Center comes a study about the 10 or more medications often prescribed to older heart failure patients that should be of concern. But let's put this into a larger perspective. More than 50% of all older patients hospitalized for heart failure, a progressive condition in which the heart doesn't pump blood as well as it should, are discharged from the hospital with prescriptions for 10 or more medications. That's according to the journal Circulation and Heart Failure, an American Heart Association journal. Quote, high medication burden, also known as polypharmacy, is commonly associated with adverse events and reactions. That's according to the medical doctor, senior author, and professor of medicine at Weill Cornell Medical, who stated this. In lay language, the average senior citizen is taking over 7 medications per day, and if you're recovering from different illnesses, you may be taking as many as 15. Most of these had adverse effects. And most people go into a hospital are taking 5 or more medications. 42% are taking 10 or more. Have these been tested to see what their interreactions are? No. Are people having serious side effects on medications? Yes. Do they need all these medications? No, they do not. They may need some medications, but not all of them. And finally, from the University of Buffalo comes a study that the higher doses of vitamin D, the slower the progression of fragility in this clinical study. So we're just not getting enough vitamin D, and vitamin D is just that super vitamin. Get at least 2,000 to 5,000 units of vitamin D. Now, I've reviewed thousands and thousands of studies on vitamin D, and it is one of the safest vitamins known. We're just not getting enough. We need more vitamin D. Oh, and by the way, community health clinics of Benton County, participants in an 8-week mindfulness-based stress reduction course reported significant improvement in levels of pain and depression and disability using yoga and mindful meditation. And this was published in the Journal of American Osteopathic Association. So, all important. I'm Gary Nall. You're listening to a program that is here to inspire us to make healthier choices. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to go to an audio clip, and this one is important because you can watch it by going to prn.fm, or you can listen to it, but if you're listening, everything this gentleman is saying, you're seeing the actual patent from the patent office on the screen. You're seeing the actual documents. This is not specious or speculative or conspiracy theory. This is real bona fide material. And this should tell you a lot about what we're not being told about why they're giving him misinformation on the coronavirus. And they're giving us a lot of bad information on the coronavirus. And I'll give you some information on that. In fact, just today, quote, round up the anti-vaxxers, enlist religious leaders. Bill Gates warns U.S. needs to brainstorm ways to reduce vaccine hesitancy. Quote, RT, billionaire software tycoon Bill Gates has urged the U.S. to prepare for a COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Listen carefully, everyone. By, quote, deputizing trusted community leaders to reduce vaccine hesitancy, bemoaning the rapid spread of conspiracy theory online. You want to deputize people to make sure that other people are not talking about vaccine resistance or not taking vaccines? That's fascism. That's a man advocating a police state. That's a man who takes away our freedom of choice, freedom of speech. That's tyranny. And we can't see it? Well, we should. So when they want neighbor to spy on neighbor, quote, Bill Gates, vaccine hesitancy is in all countries and predates the pandemic. Thinking about which voices will help reduce the hesitancy so we can get a level of vaccination that really has a chance of stopping the virus. Bill, for those of us who actually graduated from college because we were interested in improving our knowledge, and did I watch that 60-minute piece with Leslie Stahl about your co-founder of Microsoft? Yeah. Did he have anything good to say about you? Nothing. Did he say that you were tyrannical? Yeah. A screamer? Yeah. Did you try to take away all the stock and his stock in the company so he'd be left with nothing and then fire him? Yeah. Wow. What a background. And no one looks at your background to see what kind of person you really are as a human being. And yet we're supposed to trust you with the world's population? I don't think so. And we will provide that information that the rest of Americans won't. And by the way, I'm dealing with that very topic today in my commentary. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to show you the truth about the coronavirus and why would someone want to patent it? Why would they want the ability to modify what it does to make it more lethal? Why would you do that? And isn't that against the international laws? Yes. So this is what you're about to get that you didn't know. Back in a moment.
I'm the developer of linguistic genomics, which was the first platform on which you could determine the intent of communication rather than the literal artifact of communication. But we've also used that technology for a number of other applications in defense and intelligence and finance. And most notably, in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. we maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line in any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM. And those 1 million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately 1/3 of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up, and thus began the rabbit trail.
March 2003, panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the
new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The coronavirus crisis.
The World Health Organization has declared
an international public health emergency.
While we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. In either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush? Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. That funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going. But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say, China did it. China could say, the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is, both of them are almost telling the truth.
Okay, there we have it. That they tried to patent it, which means that they knew that it was not natural, therefore it just didn't come from a bat to a fresh food market. And then they had gain of function, which means that they were enhancing its viral activity. That also means that they knew that they could control the research on it. And when the National Institute of Health says, hold on a second, this is not good, this is bad, and stop it, the letter you just saw on the screen, at the bottom of the screen, where they're telling people to stop all research, it said, it's voluntary, which is a wink and a nod, go ahead and keep doing it. So you see, from all along, from the very beginning, we should have known that all this was not due to the Chinese, this was due to America, because America had the patents on it, and we have proof of it. He has all the patents. He's the world's leading authority on who owns patents, how many are real, how many are not real. That's the real story. This was not created in China. This was in the United States, because we own the patent. And we knew that it was weaponized. So, just giving you the information. A few other things real fast. Wall Street Journal. People harmed by coronavirus vaccines will have little recourse. Any payouts for injuries will come from a less generous program than in years past. Well, we know how tough it is to get the Department of Justice that oversees the victims who are filing suit. There's no appeal. You cannot take witnesses in. And the people who are going to be determining whether or not you're child was injured or you were injured, they've really shortened the window. It's just a few months, not years. Well, how many people who are injured by a vaccine will have that injury manifest as symptoms months, weeks, or years later? Probably 80%. So they've already put into motion how you're not going to be protected. Also today, the Doctors for Open Debate, a large group of doctors, medical doctors, and health professionals sent a letter to every Belgium authority in the Belgium media. Quote, listen carefully to this. We doctors and health professionals wish to express our serious concern about the evolution of the situation in the recent months surrounding the outbreak of SARS-2 virus. We call on politicians to be independently and critically informed in the decision-making process and in the compulsory implementation of corona measures. We ask for an open debate where all experts are represented without any form of censorship. After the initial panic surrounding COVID-19, the objective facts now show a completely different picture. There is no medical justification for any emergency policy anymore. I repeat, there is no medical justification for any emergency policy anymore. Their current crisis management has become totally disproportionate and causes more damage than it does any good. We call for an end to all measures and ask for an immediate restoration of our normal democratic governance and legal structures and of all our civil liberties. Quote, "A cure must not be worse than the problem," is a thesis that is more relevant than ever in the current situation. We note, however, that the collateral damage now being caused to the population will have a greater impact in the short and long term on all sections of the population than the number of people now being safeguarded from corona. In our opinion, the current corona measures and the strict penalties for noncompliance with them are contrary to the values formulated by the Belgium Supreme Health Council, which until recently, as the health authority, has always ensured quality medicine in our country. Science, expertise, quality, impartiality, independence, transparency. We believe that the policy has introduced mandatory measures that are not sufficiently scientifically based, unilaterally directed, and that there is not enough space in the media for an open debate in which different views and opinions are heard. In addition, each municipality and province now has the authorization to add its own measures, whether well-founded or not. Moreover, the strict repressive policy on Corona strongly concerns contrasts with the government's minimal policy when it comes to disease prevention, doing nothing, strengthen our own immune systems, doing nothing through a healthy lifestyle, optimal care with attention for the individual, and investment in care personnel. But you have made it so. For us, the word has come to mean, and in a terrible way, your society has come to represent the white man that knows too little for the power that he wields and the damage that he causes. You're probably not used to an indigenous woman calling you ignorant, and less so on a platform such as this. But for indigenous peoples, it is clear, the less you know about something, the less value it has to you, and the easier it is to destroy. And by easy, I mean guiltlessly, remorselessly, foolishly, even righteously. And this is exactly what you're doing to us as indigenous people, to our rainforest territories, and ultimately to our planet. It took us thousands of years to get to know the Amazon rainforest, to understand her ways, her secrets, to learn how to survive and thrive with her. And for my people, we have only known you for 70 years. We were contacted in the 1950s by American evangelical missionaries, but we are fast learners, and we are not as complex as the rainforest. When you say that the oil companies have marvelous new technologies that can sip the oil from beneath our lands like hummingbirds sip nectar from a flower, we know that you're lying, because we live downriver from the spills. When you say that the Amazon is not burning, we do not need satellite images to prove you're wrong. We are choking on the smoke of the fruit orchards that our ancestors planted centuries ago. When you say that you are urgently looking for climate solutions, yet continue to build a world economy based upon extraction and pollution, we know you're lying, because we are the closest to the land and the first to hear her cries. I never had the chance to go to university and become a doctor, a lawyer, a politician, or a scientist. My elders are my teachers. The forest is my teacher, and I have learned enough, and I speak shoulder to shoulder with my indigenous brothers and sisters across the world to know that you have lost your way and that you are in trouble, though you don't fully understand it yet, and that your trouble is a threat to every other form of life on Earth. You forced your civilization upon us, and now look where we are. Global pandemic, climate crisis, species extinction, and driving it all, widespread spiritual poverty. In all these years of taking, taking, taking from our lands, you have not had the courage or the curiosity or the respect to get to know us, to understand how we see and think and feel and what we know about life on this earth. I won't be able to teach you this in this letter. But what I can say is that it has to do with thousands and thousands of years of love for this forest, for this place. Love, in the deepest sense, as reverence. This forest has taught us how to walk lightly. And because we have listened and learned and defended her, she has given us everything, water, clean air, nourishment, shelter, medicines, happiness, and meaning. And you're taking all this away, not just from us, but from everyone on the planet and from future generations. It is the early morning in the Amazon, just before first light, a time that is meant for us to share our dreams, our most potent thoughts. And so I say to all of you, the Earth does not expect you to save her. She expects you to respect her. And we, as indigenous people, expect the same. Namonte Nimkimwa from Ecuador. For those of you who are not listening to some of our syndicated stations like WBAI, we're going to go to the top of the hour at WBAI. We'll cut off at 55 minutes. You can take it from there so you can do your end of hour programming. I understand that we dropped out for about 2.5 minutes. Sorry, don't know why that happened, though I'm out in the woods, and so that's probably the reason. But Jesse has the full show, and it'll be archived with the 2.5 minutes in it. Now, to playing Russian roulette with a COVID-19 vaccine, Richard Gale, our scholar in residence, and myself. America, we need a conversation. It's a very serious and dire conversation that has been intentionally ignored and swept under the rug for far too long. It concerns a dialogue that our entire mainstream media, in its conventional blindness, refuses to acknowledge. Yet its consequences are potentially severe and perhaps deadly. It may not eventually have an impact upon you personally, nor your health, but it will surely have a profound adverse effect upon someone you know, or perhaps even a loved one. It is time to finally agree on a very simple fact. It is a truth that needs to be driven into our national collective consciousness. Vaccination hesitancy and opposition did not mysteriously appear out of a vacuous void. Nobody rubbed an Arabian lamp to release an anti-vaccine genie upon the public. However, this is the image that our federal agencies, the medical establishment, your average pediatrician, the vaccine czar such as Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and their ilk, and the media project upon the visual mental screen of our culture. In effect, they reify a false narrative on our behalf. In our opinion, any hope that life will return to normal is now a pipe dream. It will not. The pandemic has spurred too many other financially driven initiatives that are going to propel the redefinition of normalcy, and none of these measures will benefit you. Rather than emerge from a closed mind to an open mind, from no debate to open debate, from having outside independent medical research and scientific opinion discussed on an open stage so we see with transparency what is objective, what is real science, and what is propaganda and commercial science. No. Rather than to engage in open dialogue to reevaluate the causes for vaccine hesitancy, which has been increasingly substantially and especially after the first announcements to develop a COVID vaccine, the pro-vaccine regime has been focusing its attention on how to launch a countermeasure to reinvigorate popular faith in vaccine. Common sense should tell us this is the wrong discussion. The only real genies that have appeared in the vaccine vials themselves that have been responsible for vaccine injuries, an epidemic of neurological disorders in our children, weakened immune systems, lifelong autoimmune conditions, and deaths, lots of deaths. Every parent with a vaccine-injured child at one time placed 100% faith in the safety of the vaccines that their children received. Wholeheartedly, they believed the medical establishment, they believed their pediatricians, they believed the school of health officials. And and they listened intently to the television talking heads who convinced them with scare tactics to get vaccinated for whatever infectious outbreak was being reported that particular week. Therefore, their very rational reasons, based upon a large body of scientific evidence for why vaccine hesitancy, or put it another way, freedom of choice of what goes into your body, is on the rise. Our federal health agencies, in particular the CDC and the FDA, and certainly the drug makers, have done nothing right forthright to earn our respect and trust. Nor should we be sucker punched into handing over to them the right of what determines the quality of ingredients going into our body. And I can tell you from thousands and thousands and thousands of research hours that we have put into this, that we've scoured the entire literature, and we can find not a single healthy ingredient in a vaccine. To the contrary, they are all listed as toxicants to varying degrees, with some being terribly toxic. Mercury and aluminum, polysorbate 80, and formaldehyde among them. Many people are now eager to see a COVID-19 vaccine available under the hopeful assumption that their lives will return to 2019 before the pandemic was declared. Many are also willing to sacrifice themselves as guinea pigs in this vaccine clinical trial phenomena. As admirable as their courage may be, we must ask whether it is founded upon a sound understanding of vaccine risk, or is it simply an emotional reaction to the pandemic that has been orchestrated by our government's health officials, the czars of the vaccine imperium, such as Bill Gates, the World Health Organization, and those voices doing the bidding for the industrial pharmaceutical complex. They are not just amoral, they are immoral. Not every expert in the fields of immunology, virology, or genetics is buying into the COVID-19 vaccine frenzy. But sadly, their voices are either muffled in the louder noise of pandemic control and medical propaganda, or worse, are being ignored or censored altogether. Yet they too now more than ever need to have a seat at the table. Not every problem requires a technological or medical solution, and more often than not, the irrational rush for such technological remedies makes matters far worse and costs more lives. Let's just consider one important voice now being ignored. Dr. Sukrit Bhakdi, that's B-H-A-K-D-I. He is no nickel and dime physician. He has practiced medicine for 50 years, was a postdoctoral researcher at one of the world's most prestigious research institutes, the Max Planck Institute of Immunobiology and Epigenetics, and later held the microbiology chair at the University of Mainz in Germany. He has impeccable credentials that, in our opinion, outweigh many of our so-called medical experts preaching from their official soapboxes. Dr. Bhakdi is not anti-vaccine. However, he is deeply worried about the new technologies for a COVID-19 vaccine being rushed to market. One of the greatest fears being heard over the internet is that these new gene-based vaccines will recombine with our body's DNA and cause untold health problems. But this worries Bhakdi less than other far greater risks that you were not told about, the media has not discussed, which can have lifelong debilitating consequences. First, there is the possibility of mutagenesis, or mutagens, occurring due to the intersection of the vaccine's viral-based gene. This is especially worrisome given the possibility that these insertions could occur in reproductive cells and would thereby be inherited by future children. These were among the safety concerns raised by Paul Ehrlich, the institute in Germany, and published in the journal Methods in Molecular Biology. Second, there's a very real danger that our body's immune system will identify these inserted genetic materials as a foreign invader and create anti-DNA antibodies that will in turn trigger an autoimmune disease. There is no certainty that an adverse autoimmune response will occur immediately or even shortly after vaccination. It could take 1, 2, 3 or more years before the vaccinated person lapses into a serious, even life-threatening autoimmune condition. There are over 80 different autoimmune illnesses. It is a toss of the dice as to which might appear. Nevertheless, in the case of such an event, the gene-based COVID-19 vaccine cannot be ruled out as a fundamental cause. And don't place any bets that you'll be properly diagnosed if symptoms of a chronic autoimmune disease begin to appear. During the annual European League Against Rheumatism conference in 2018, two peer-reviewed scientific papers were delivered that should frighten us far more than COVID. Separate studies found that approximately 95% of patients were misdiagnosed on at least one occasion after displaying autoimmune symptoms. 95% wrong. About 35% were told it was psychosomatic, meaning all in your head. It wasn't. It was in their cells. How many parents have been told by their pediatricians after their collapsed child goes into mental despondency shortly after receiving one or more vaccinations? Oh, it had nothing to do with the vaccine. It was in your genes or another cause. Then there is a third and even more terrible danger with these new vaccines. It is wise to give heed to Dr. Bacotti's warning in his book, Corona False Alarm, Facts and Figures, Chelsea Green. Quote, during or after production of the viral spike, waste products of the virus protein must be expected to become exposed on the surface of the targeted cell, meaning cells which the virus has latched onto. The majority of healthy individuals have killer lymphocytes that recognize these viral waste products. It is inevitable that autoimmune attacks will be mounted against the cells. Where, when, and with which effect this might occur is entirely unknown, but the prospects are simply terrifying. End quote. In lay language, what that means is that we could have a nation that receives the vaccine and then has all these autoimmune conditions where the body's immune system is attacking itself. You would have the largest destruction of human life, impairment of human life in the history of the world. This would dwarf the bubonic plague. Now, although early research shows DNA and RNA vaccines have benefits over the current cultured viral vaccines because of their high potency, they are still experimental. Everything's experimental. Much remains unknown, and because this new generation of vaccines are very recent, there's no reliable data to reach a medical consensus about their safety profile and nor their potential long-term risk effects. It is Dr. Bacotti's belief that COVID-19 vaccine is completely unwarranted, not needed. An important fact people fail to realize is that the vaccine will not necessarily prevent you from contracting the virus. Instead, you are more likely not to fall ill. However, you can still contract the virus and remain a spreader and infect others. Remember, everyone who's vaccinated, you shed the vaccine in your saliva. The only incentive for a COVID-19 vaccine is that it's an enormous cash cow for the drug industry. Each of us should be deeply concerned about the above potential adverse effects from the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccination policy is supposed to be based upon concise benefit-risk analysis. Sadly, this has never been a firm policy implemented in the United States, and it has been a factor largely denied by the majority of the medical community. Every vaccination is a game of Russian roulette. For safety, safer vaccines, there may be 10,000 or 100,000 chambers in the syringe-shaped revolver, but there is always one live bullet. For one less safe vaccine, such as Gardasil, MMR, and DPT vaccines, the odds that a single bullet drop dramatically. As in the case of Merck's Gardasil, the results can be catastrophic, which they have been. For this reason, Robert Kennedy Jr. has filed a major lawsuit against the vaccine maker, and so far, future prospects of a truly safe COVID-19 vaccine appear to be far off in the distant horizon, or never. So why such concern over COVID-19 vaccine? For those listening on WBAI, we wish you well. I know you have to get off to the next part of the program, but you can continue listening on PRN.FM. Following AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial, it was reported that at least one participant had a very serious vaccine injury. Quote, the highest level, the National Institutes of Health are very concerned reported pro-pharma news site Fierce Biotech. Yet British health authorities permitted the trial to resume. And this is where the event becomes insidious. No information about the nature of the injury, nor its severity, has been made public. The company has argued it cannot release further information because of patient privacy. In other words, despite the government being the appendage that will distribute the vaccine for makers' financial benefit, it has no leverage to review the injuries from the clinical trials. U.S. health officials have come to the conclusion that the participant was diagnosed with vaccine-induced transverse myelitis, a debilitating inflammation of both sides of the spinal cord. AstraZeneca's COVID-19 is, quote, a weakened version of a common cold adenovirus from chimpanzees that has been genetically changed so it is impossible for it to grow in humans, end quote, or so the participant information sheet for the vaccine alleges. It is also worth noting that anyone with a history of immunosuppression, immunodeficiency, angioedema, anaphylaxis, cardiovascular condition, that means any form of heart disease, gastritis, gastrointestinal diseases, liver and renal diseases, neurological illnesses or psychiatric conditions, allergies, a cancer diagnosis, alcohol consumption, drug dependency, are pregnant or received another vaccine within 30 days, was excluded from the participating in the trial. Hello? The very people who are going to be taking the vaccine were excluded? How biased a trial is that? It's junk science. Of course, this is not unusual. This is not an uncommon list of exclusionary conditions used during all vaccine trial recruitments to assure that only the healthiest people are enrolled, and in turn, that reduces substantially the likelihood of adverse reactions in healthy people. Nevertheless, once you launch that vaccine, every person, no matter how sick they are, immune compromised conditions, heart conditions, cancer conditions, pregnancy conditions, they're going to be forced to take that vaccine. They're distributed indiscriminately to everyone. This week, it was reported that an adverse reaction occurred during Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine trial. Information about the actual diagnosis of the participant's adverse reaction remains unknown. But the case must be extremely serious because it signaled a high red alert and Johnson & Johnson halted its trial of 60,000 enrolled participants. Vaccine-related injuries, even casualties, are not uncommon in such trials. Johnson & Johnson's press release stated it is conducting an investigation internally, meaning that outside authorities without conflicts of interest are again excluded. In order to, quote, respect the participants' privacy, no. Similar to AstraZeneca's vaccine, Johnson & Johnson relies upon a genetically engineered vector of a human adenovirus, which infects our cells and then delivers an engineered blueprint it is carrying. The company plans to manufacture more than 1 billion doses for global distribution. That's a seventh of the world's population. And finally, there's Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine that is based upon mRNA technology, a trick genetic engineering with lipid nanoparticles that, when injected, turn our bodies into their own vaccine manufacturing factories. There seems to be more secrecy behind this company over the others. Moderna managed to get past the hurdle of animal testing and leap right into human clinical trials. However, according to a preliminary article in the New England Journal of Medicine, 80% of the participants in the moderate and high dose trial groups reported moderate to severe adverse reactions. If it was 2%, the trial should be scrapped and the vaccine scrapped. This is 80%. If we take a look at Moderna's Form S-1 registration submitted to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Committee, we find, quote, listen carefully, quote, there can be no assurance that our LNP lipid nanoparticles will not have undesirable effects. Our LNP could contribute in whole or part to one or more of the following immunoreactions, infusion reaction, complement reactions, austenitic reaction, antibody reaction, or reactions to the PEG, that's the synthetic vaccine ingredient. Certain aspects of our investigational medicines may induce immune reactions from either the mRNA or the lipid, as well as adverse reactions within liver pathways or degradation of the RNA or the LMP, any of which could lead to significant adverse events in one or more of our clinical trials. End quote. That's what the manufacturer says. Wow. This Forms S1 was filed back in November 2019, and therefore serious risks of the RNA vaccine from Moderna have been well known for a sufficient length of time to elicit grave caution. Nothing has stopped any of these companies. Nothing. They're all on Trump's Operation Warp Speed fast track. And one final warning, don't count upon the mainstream media to educate you about any of this. In the event you or a loved one is injured or contracts a lifelong autoimmune illness from one of these COVID-19 vaccines, lower your hopes and expectation that you'll be rewarded, if at all, with adequate compensation. That's not going to happen. And finally, do you have a fuller picture now of the larger stakes behind national government's hasty release of a COVID-19 vaccine? But nothing being done at the national level to inspire people to have a healthier immune system or protect those people who have comorbidities by giving the best possible treatments imaginable? Now ask yourself why a more open and public discussion is not being conducted to address the evidence for these very legitimate concerns and fears. The warnings stating here today warrant a rise in vaccine hesitancy and opposition across the public landscape. The conspiracy theorists are not the parents caring for neurological damaged children, but a reminder that this should have been known before their children were vaccinated. The real denialists are those in the mainstream media and the scientific community, at the World Trade Health Organization, the CDC, and the FDA, who are too lazy, too biased, too stupid, too intellectually deficient, and completely lacking a moral conscience to perform proper due diligence and mine the scientific literature for the answers. Do yourself a favor. Simply don't listen to them. And when Gates, Fauci, Trump, Biden, these other clowns, and state governors begin talking about the awesome promises of a COVID-19 vaccine or its mandate, turn off your television or computer screen. These people are only profiteering or politically aligning with the idea that the vaccines will benefit them. You're the collateral damage. And that's the real war against corona. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you very much for listening and have a nice day. Thank you.